Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You are listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. A recent poll from the University of Michigan found that more than half of Americans 50 and older provide care to one or more people 64 and older. The most frequent recipients of care are parents. Friends and sometimes neighbors are typically involved in looking after some of the basics, making doctor's appointments, handling insurance issues, cleaning up around the yard or house, grocery shopping, meal prep, basic household tasks. While friends and family are often happy to provide their loved ones with a helping hand, caregiving has its challenges, including financial strain or emotional fatigue, even loneliness, depending on the circumstances. Approximately two-thirds of caregivers are women. More specifically, more than a third of those women are daughters, like journalist Kitty Eisley, who has kept audio diaries and conducted interviews with other caregivers and experts for her podcast 24/7. It explores the medical, legal, and emotional challenges of elder care. Let's listen to a clip from a recent episode. Rodrigo Garcia, son of Colombian novelist Gabriel Garcia and Mercedes Barcha, penned a memoir of his parents' final years. The famed novelist struggled to remember his own stories.
Even in the midst of that fog, he said something that I quote in the book that I thought was just, you know, remarkably well put, or as he would say, well written, which is, he says, I'm losing my memory, and memory is my tool and my raw material, which is a great way to sum up the role of memory in writing. It's both what you use to write, and it's often, you know, your memories are the subject matter. So it really is the tool and the subject matter for a writer. It's everything.
His father is Gabriel Garcia Marquez, of course. Longtime NPR journalist and Emmy Award-winning producer Kitty Eisley joins us to talk about some of the stories of caregivers, as well as offer tips for navigating the holiday season. Kitty, welcome back to All of It.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you. Listeners, we want to get you in on this conversation. Are you a caregiver for a parent, maybe a sibling or a spouse? What challenges are you running into, especially around the holidays? How do you make your loved one who needs a bit of extra help feel included in family activities? We would like to hear what your experience has been like. Our phone number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. You can also reach out on social media at All of It WNYC. That's both Twitter and Instagram. Lines are open for caregivers. We want to hear your experiences. So, Kitty, your podcast covers such a wide range of topics, from the assisted living economy to Seth Rogen and his wife's family starting a group called Hilarity for Charity to assist families with members who have Alzheimer's. How do you decide what stories you want to cover and include in the podcast? And how does that fold into the podcast mission?
Well, originally the mission was me trying to figure out what I was doing. And that's why I started keeping an audio diary, because I was overwhelmed and I felt like how could I be the only one? So the first season was me literally calling people I knew saying, like, how did you handle this aspect? Or is what I'm doing normal? Or is what I'm feeling normal? Or is there a better way to do this? As I think people know, my dad died right as we were putting out the first season. And it was peaceful, and I'm grateful for all of it. But it meant that we had to sort of change focus. So the second season became, again, asking questions about stuff I didn't know. And this season, you just used a clip from Rodrigo Garcia. This season was asking, how are artists and creators, are they giving us tools to deal with this? And are they representing care? Where can we see ourselves? On screen? In literature, on stage, where am I visible? Because we have all these superhero movies, and I feel like all these people doing this care are heroic. It's not a trope that people necessarily want to use, because it should be kind of more normalized, but I feel like we're kind of invisible, even though our numbers are enormous. So for this season, I went to various creators and artists and writers and TV people to say, where are we? And how did you interpret this? So just a plug for Rodrigo Garcia's book. It's called A Farewell to Gabo and Mercedes. And it's his account of his parents' final years. And it's just gorgeous. And it has many layers. But one thing he taught me, I thought that was really interesting, as he said, in Latin American cultures, respect for the elderly is much more powerful. Hmm. And in a lot of ways, having someone with memory failure is, that's normal. It's normal that somebody at that age might not be on their game. And there's nothing to see here. There's no shame in it. Where I think for many of us, it's still a little, even for me, I was kind of like trying to protect my dad. I didn't want people to necessarily think of him differently. And Rodrigo gave me a different way to think about it.
In a recent episode, you spoke with a woman who is a full-time caregiver for her dad with dementia. Her name is, I think it's Arlieta. Am I saying that right?
Arlita Hall.
Arlita yeah. Hall. Arlita Hall. She started going to open mic nights around Chicago for some relief. When did she turn to comedy, and how does she balance that idea of finding the funny in something that can be really painful?
That was my question, too. I found her because she'd done a little sketch thing on the Hilarity for Charity, an event they did for caregivers online, and I thought she was so funny. She was she worked for the state of Illinois. She was a social worker and took care of her dad full-time as his dementia really increased. And as she started going to these open mic nights and just trying to cheer herself up, she had talked to some friends and one of the managers ahead of time and told them what crazy thing happened with her dad that day. And they said, you got to tell that on stage. Additionally, her mom and her stepmom also were kind of cracking up with the way she told them the various things that she had to do to keep her dad safe. And so I think she comes at it with affection, but also a sense that we need to laugh because otherwise it's just too hard. And she, I think she was comfortable in doing humor around her dad. And what really struck me from her stand-up comedy, you know, open mic nights, took her into going to an improv class. And she ended up taking a class about using improv techniques to talk to people with dementia. And if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. You're leaning into somebody else's story or their reality. So for her dad, he might think he was at a board meeting for the Chicago Public Schools. And she would sort of say, yes, and here are your papers. And what do you want to talk to us about? Really clever ways of using art to sort of rethink the relationship with someone who's not fully themselves.
Well, let's listen to a clip from 24/7 of Arlieta Hall. And this is a part of her comedy set where she talks about how she helped her father after he was startled seeing his own reflection in the mirror.
He still know how to wash up, but I gotta guide him into the shower. He all good until he peeped that man in the mirror. So he'll be washing up, he'll be like, get out of here! What are you doing? Get out! So I come in there, I be shooting at the man, bop, bop, shower.
How much of the comedy soothes her? How much of it is a coping mechanism for her?
I think she'd say a lot of it. In fact, she's making a film called Finding Your Laughter, and it's very much about how she got through this time with him. You know, and that has come up with many people doing a lot. There's a lot of social media on this with people doing TikToks and Instagram little videos about caring for someone with dementia. So privacy is sort of a delicate thing you have to navigate. But I think for her, she ended up finding that every audience for every one of these events, every time she did stand up, people came up after and said, that's exactly what I'm going through with my grandmother or my mother. I'm so glad somebody else pointed it out. It made me feel better about it. And I think it was the response from the audience that was told her I should continue doing this, that this is not a... I'm not crossing a boundary. I'm talking to people in the same boat, and it's okay to laugh. And I think her dad would have agreed. I don't think he, I got the sense he was, you know, in her corner and a very cheerful guy.
My guest is Kitty Eisele. The name of the podcast is 24/7, a podcast about caregiving. Let's talk to Carrie calling in from Brooklyn. Hi, Carrie. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks so much, Kitty. I've been so helped by your podcast. It came at the right time. My mom has Alzheimer's, and I just put her in a facility a year ago, and my dad has Parkinson's, is in skilled nursing. And the thing I'm most distressed about is it just feels like unless I go every single day, which I live in Brooklyn and my parents are in Connecticut and Norwalk and Stamford, there's always something that is not quite right with my mom's hygiene. there's a urine stain on the floor that I found on Thanksgiving. Like, if I hadn't found it, would anybody have said anything? And, you know, it's just from clothing to, she luckily is not super distressed, but I am. And I remember the episode when you had that fellow who researched these facilities, and I just, you know, my mom's in what would be considered a 4 or 5 star facility. And I just feel like they have us over a barrel. Like, I just, I don't know what we can do. I don't know. I've had so many conversations with administration, and they say, we're really sorry, we'll change this, and nothing ever changes. And I just feel terrible. And yet I lived with my mom, you know, in the pandemic. My dad was doing all the caregiving with undiagnosed Parkinson's, had 2 strokes, and then I went right home to stay with her. Thankfully, I was teaching online and could do it. And then I couldn't do it anymore. And my father does not have cognitive impairment, and, you know, said, you have to live your life. And so I just, I always feel just like, I mean, I have another sister, and I'm the main caregiver in terms of all the legal stuff and power of attorney, et cetera. And I handle everything. And I visit more often because I'm closer. And there's a helpless feeling of, like, you know, just especially seeing my mom, who now, she still knows who we are sometimes, but I'm dismayed at the level of care and feeling like there's so little, you know, we can do as families that.
Yeah, Carrie, let me dive in and maybe, no, I appreciate it. And thank you so much for sharing such personal information. So, Kitty, wow. I'm sure you probably heard something that the other people didn't hear in that. Is there anything you can offer Carrie that maybe could help soothe her a little bit, or even provide her some language or some guidance on what she can do to either feel better about her situation or to maybe improve the situation?
Well, first, admiration, because you've got both parents at the same time with serious challenges. Yes. And you got them through the pandemic safely. That's not small. And I think you should really look at how what a service of love that is, that you have kept them safe. And I really congratulate you on that. People don't take that as seriously as I think they should, that this has been like raising a child. Like, you've kept an older, infirm person safe through the hardest time. So take some credit in your own mind for that. I think that having to institutionalize somebody, having to send them somewhere, is just the hardest decision. What I would say is a lot of caregivers left the profession during the pandemic. They're statistically around the country, the numbers are down. So the people who actually work at these places, they may be short-staffed even with the best intention, even with 4 or 5 star care. I noticed even the wonderful place my dad stayed when we had him in hospice at the end, you know, some of his grooming was done better by the caregiver that we'd already been using. She would come by and double check and do things. I think you just have to let yourself sort of take a pass on feeling bad about it. I think you're right to keep on the management, but I also think, you know, there's not as much as you can do, and it may not be as upsetting for your mom as for you. Mm-hmm. I think that was true in our case. I would be more like fussy and more easily rattled by things. And my dad, you know, it wasn't that he was that far gone, but I think he understood things were changing. And I think you just cut yourself a break. You're doing your best. And I think dealing with both parents at the same time, that's huge. You know, of course, we'd all wish that it were, you know, care that you could provide at home. But sometimes with Alzheimer's particularly, physically, you can't lift someone and do all of that. So it sounds like you found really good situations for both of them. And it is heartbreaking. There's not a question. And I would say, get some therapy, find a support group, just listen to other people going through it so you don't feel like you're doing it wrong.
My guest is Kitty Eisley. The name of the podcast is 24/7, a podcast about caregiving. We'll have more with Kitty and take more of your calls after a quick break. This is All of It. You're listening to All of It. My guest is Kitty Eisley. The name of her podcast is 24/7, a podcast about caregiving. Let's talk to Jonna from Hazlet, New Jersey. Hi, Jonna. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Allison. Allison and Kitty both, I would like to thank you so much for having this conversation.
Of course, of course. Thank it's really
you.
Important.
Thank you for calling. Do you have family
so,
with the same situation?
Well, actually, my best friend's father was the gentleman that I spent the last 4 years caring for. He passed away in February at 102. My best friend was diagnosed with cancer and had to be admitted for treatment, which was unsuccessful. And, you know, while I was caring for his father, he was not getting better, and he did pass away, and he left basically his father in my care. And Henry, that's the gentleman, he has other children, but they lived very, very far away. So I cared for Henry, you know, every day for the first 3 years in his home. And then the final year, he really needed a live-in, and that couldn't be me, and it couldn't be at his home because his home was in such disrepair. Mm. So he had a lovely apartment for the last year of his life and a very wonderful caregiver, and I continued to be his point person. But I wanted to say that caring for Henry for 3 years was sort of my way into grieving the loss of my best friend, and also just such a heart opening to care for someone so dependent. You know, he was so kind. He was a World War II veteran, so he really had you know, some interesting stories to tell. And he had been a writer, because he was low vision in his later life, I was able to actually read to him. And we sat and read, you know, very often his memoirs and his family history. So I feel like I had such a heart opening, you know, being assigned to care for Henry. And I think what was uncomplicated is that we were not family.
Interesting.
But, right. But you know, I mean, I knew him for 27 years, so...
That's so, it's interesting, Jana. Thank you for calling
beautiful.
In because that's such an interesting point that she brings about how being not family helped it be a little less complicated. And maybe, Kitty, you could talk a little bit about that the dynamic of the relationship between parent and child.
I'll tell you who can talk about it better than I can. And thank you to that caller. That's really an enormous gift. And I think also the sense that she got, I can't remember what her phrase was, but heart opening experience. I found it, that's a beautiful way to put it. I found it humbling to understand just what the human body can do and need, and the strength that my dad brought to all his life and tried to bring to his end years as well. It was deeply humbling and heart opening. Absolutely. That's beautiful. As far as family dynamics, I would say that is the best holiday tip I can give. See if you can start to repair relationships with any family members. If you're facing a parent, let's just keep it to a nuclear family, with dementia, really physical and mental challenges in older years. And I say that to give you the example of Patty Davis, who was in the beginning of our second season, Ronald Reagan's daughter. And she spent many years after his death of Alzheimer's running caregiving groups for families, so support groups for family caregivers. And she did talk at length about how she had to talk to herself to say, if I'm going to show up for this hardship in my family's life, I have to do it with the right heart. I'm going to have to deal with my mother. She and her mother kind of famously, I think, didn't have at all a good relationship. And she really had an internal conversation with herself about what she could learn from this experience. How could it change her? And how was she going to try to be a better person in her family context, in her family dynamic, to get through this? And I think her father lived with Alzheimer's for 10 years. So I just recommend that interview particularly for thinking about family dynamics, because that was a complicated family, as I think if you were around in those era, you know that. And she is a beautiful writer and really put her heart where this topic was by running these caregiving groups with a hospital for many years after her father passed. So she's one, I think, that can give some insight into the need for you to, as a caregiver, as a family member, to sort of examine your own heart maybe and think about what the nature of your relationships are and how can you bring a better, healthier self into that, because this will take everything out of you. And you can grow. I mean, not to make it on somebody else's illness, but it will develop different dimensions of you, I think, if you really attend to it, just as the last caller talked about. And as our previous caller, Carrie, who I think did amazing work mm-hmm. navigating both parents. I mean, these are really deep, deep things that you do out of love. And I wasn't always my best self, but I think I tried to think about what that would look like. And particularly in my own relationship with my sister, we did talk about, like, we want to get along really well. Mm-hmm. And we want a good relationship when dad is gone. And that was in the back of my mind a lot. Like, you know, we fought like everybody fights, but we did talk about, like, we need to get through this in a way that we still want to be friends. And that would be something I'd say for a holiday. Like, think about your relationships and how can you bring a softer self, because this is a hard thing.
Rachel is calling in from Nyack on line 7. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for calling All of It.
Hi. Thank you for this really important subject matter. I took care of my mother, who had dementia, Alzheimer's, until she died right before the pandemic. So who knows if that actually might have been how she died. It was rather quick, and it was definitely respiratory. But I am calling because I, by profession, was a child life specialist. And what child life specialists do is they work with children and adolescents and young adults to help them with the psychosocial and emotional needs of being in hospital, to prevent unnecessary stress and coping and stress and trauma, and to promote effective coping. And one of the things I realized were visiting every single day. And most people in assisted care, in memory care living, do not have family that visit every single day. I will tell you, my mother was lucky. She had me, and she had her 40-year boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
Boyfriend of 40 years. So one of us went to either lunch or dinner.
Rachel, and I'm going to have to dive in and then just, I'm going to ask you to wrap, because we're going to hit a hard out, but I want to let you finish that thought.
What I believe is that these adults, these people need the same kind of care, and there isn't money out there for these programs. But I would speak to these people who needed the dignity, because otherwise you see them disintegrate.
Thank you so much for calling
in,
Rachel. You know, Kitty, we are going to be doing this series about caregivers throughout the whole month. And from the looks of our phone lines, it seems like if you have time later on in the month, we'd love to have you back, because I think we only scratched the surface of some of the things we wanted to talk about.
My pleasure.
Yeah, in our last 30 seconds.
I want this to be public, you know, as many people to pay attention as possible.
Last thoughts? In our last 30 seconds, you want to leave people with?
Yeah, give yourself a break. Everybody's trying to do their best. If this were a perfect world, you wouldn't have to be in the situations that come up. And so the fact that all our callers have really leaned into this topic and leaned into it as an experience says that you care and you love that person. And I think everybody needs to recognize that's already taking a lot. And that's you've shown love. And I think people, caregivers particularly, could use that affirmation. So give it to yourself.
The podcast is called 24/7, a podcast about caregiving. This is a series. We're going to continue talking about caregiving all the way through the holidays. And Kitty Eisele, we will definitely have you back to take more calls. Thank you for making time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.